sports performance psychologist. Welcome into the Sports Project.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Good morning.
And are you heading to the University of Michigan football game today?
Yeah, looking forward to it. My oldest is a senior there, so got to get in as many games as possible.
And what is the weather for? Because I'm telling you, I was at a game last night, and it was dry last night, but it was, I don't know what the wind was doing, but the wind chill had to be really impactful, because I never leave a game, and we had to leave at halftime, because it was biting cold. So what does it look like? Is it going to be wet with some cold today?
Yeah, it said around 1 o'clock there might be some rain, there might be some snow. My youngest son is coming with me. We've got as many layers as possible, so we're loaded up.
Well, Dr. Eddie, folks, is a sports performance psychologist and a tremendous Buffalo Bills football fan, so he's been part of the Bills Mafia for a few years, and it gets cold there, so you know how to handle the cold, huh?
Oh, yeah, we look forward to the cold weather as an advantage.
Oh, I love it when those West Coast teams come in. I can't wait for USC and UCLA to come into the Big Ten right now in November and play football at the University of Michigan at the Big House or at Michigan State because they're in for a surprise playing in this junk. But this is like real football weather.
Yeah, it really is. And the challenge of it is, you know, speaking from a mental standpoint, how do you not let that be something that interferes or distracts you? Everything between, you know, predictions of how bad it could be, or, you know, adjusting to the ball and the weather, to how your body feels. These are new challenges that teams that aren't used to it have to get used to so they can refocus back on what they need to do.
So that's interesting. Some of your latest episodes on social media, go to Dr. Eddie O'Connor on Facebook and Twitter. Overthinking was one thing that I read recently, and then the value of sleep to benefit the athlete. Let's talk about that, both of those a little bit.
Yeah, the overthinking is something that is maybe the top three things that my athletes will present with, because it's sort of a natural aspect that what our brains want to do is solve the problems that come up with, and as a way to protect us. And very often, even just the rumination, which can be the thing that's keeping us up at night and that bothers us, can feel like we're actually doing something when we're actually not doing anything. But we have such a desperate need to go ahead and fix and try to feel better that sometimes we can get stuck in just the thinking. So my number one recommendation for that challenge is anytime you're in your head, get outside and translate it into some type of action. It's important that we think about things, but we can't spend too much time in there because nothing gets done.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because sometimes you get caught up with time on your hands and getting lost in your own thoughts. I guess one of the positives of things that I've read, and I'd like to hear your opinion on, is doing some mental imaging, walking yourself through a game and through some of the scenarios that might happen. Are you a believer in mental imaging, mental practice?
Oh, absolutely. Particularly at the game's higher levels, I find that more and more athletes are using it there, because what they're doing the imagery for is, first of all, using all of your senses. So it's more than just visualization. So I appreciate that you had said that. And when you bring in your emotions, that makes the images even more powerful. And what you want to do is you want to rehearse, actually, things like the cold, the adversity, the negative talk that you might have. Really bring yourself into a negative place, and then practice how you're going to adjust. What's the refocusing plan that you have? Or if you're learning a new skill, you know, what are the details and how does it feel in your body? And the research has found over and over again that when you're doing these mental reps, your brain is actually processing it. You can actually develop real physical skills, and you can actually promote healing. So I've got my injured athletes imagining the healing in their bodies and their bones and their ligaments. And you improve skills. So really, it's an incredibly powerful mental rehearsal.
So is that maybe a way to get some good rest? And do you know how people like put their head on the pillow and are staring at the ceiling because their mind is racing? Is getting into some mental imaging a way to control that, to be able to fall asleep so you get adequate sleep to be able to perform?
You know, I think those might be two separate things. Like, when I like my athletes to treat their mental imagery as real training. And there's a lot of activity, and actually the best imagery is when you're actually standing up and moving along with your image. It has more functional overlap, meaning that it activates more parts of your brain to simulate the learning and development. And really what I want you to do when you're going to bed is relax. So kind of thinking more about what you're doing. Now, if you just kind of at least do a quick mental check-in and say, hey, look, I've done everything that I can. I've had a great week of practice. I know what the game plan is. And you do a little bit of self-talk for reassurance to just kind of let your mind know that, hey, we're okay. And then refocus and say, the thing I have the most control over right now is actually going to sleep. Because if it's 10 o'clock at night and I really want to improve my performance tomorrow, all of my control is in maximizing the hours and quality of sleep that I get now. So let me go back to my sleep routine, and whether it's doing some meditation, some mindfulness, some deep breathing, some positive imagery of the things that are relaxing. You just really want to concentrate on that relaxation. And by knowing that sleep is going to take care of what you're worried about, that's one way to address the anxiety at the same time with practical results.
In your practice, do you find that, well, what percentage of people have trouble sleeping?
Oh my goodness, you know, it's really scary. I'd say at least half my athletes, I don't know if I'd say trouble, but they're so overscheduled and busy and doing homework and late practices and early workout sessions. I'd say easily half my athletes, I have to have some talk about sleeping, because they're getting certainly less than the 8. And I'd say 10, 20% of my athletes, sometimes I'll hear, are getting less than 7 or sometimes even 6. And to be honest, Steve, I won't do any mental training until I'm getting their sleep up, because it's that powerful and that important.
What's the prescription? How much sleep? Professional type of either a professional in work, athlete, what kind of?
Yeah, everybody's a bit different in the sense of individual needs, but what I've certainly found is that adolescents need 9 compared to the adults who say the recommended is 8, and athletes could use more because of the performance-enhancing effects that you get even when you get up to 10 hours of sleep.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a missing component. You know, for a lot of parents who have the ultimate guidance at night in the home for the young athlete, but I'm hoping we get some young athletes listening, because typically I know the college athletes, they think they get enough sleep, but they really don't. And I know Wendy Earlbeck, our friend, who's a dietitian, has to preach and preach and preach that it's got to be at that 8 to 9 hour length, and you got to be disciplined. You got to work your butt off at getting that much sleep.
Yeah, I love that you had said that, and she's exactly right. It is something that absolutely has to be intentional. I have my athletes, I have it myself, an alarm on my phone that tells me when it's ready to go to bed at night. If you use an alarm to wake yourself up, you really do need it at night to say, okay, shut down the social media, begin my bedtime routine, brush my teeth, take my shower, do what you got to do. So making it intentional. And the other big thing I'd like to tell everybody is, we know that we should sleep in this and that, and if we just kind of think of it independent, but really start to tie in the idea that the amount of sleep you get today is going to affect how you play tomorrow. It's going to affect how you feel tomorrow. And really start to notice that when I get more sleep, I do better. And when you're questioning whether you should go to bed or not, really be thinking about the outcomes that you want, because they're directly related. And we have to strengthen that relationship between our sleep and our performance.
We're talking to Dr. Eddie O'Connor, sports performance psychologist, talking about the value of sleep, talking a little about of anxiety. I think all those are sort of tied together a little bit, but are treated differently. When an athlete is getting over anxious, they have to do some mental imaging and get up and move around with it, and then to try to get into a deep relaxation mode to be able to sleep. Set your alarm that it's time. I got it on my phone. It tells me it's time to go to bed to get my 8 hours of sleep. So everybody should do the same. Dr. Eddie's heading to the University of Michigan football game today. They will take on Nebraska at 3:30. So Eddie's going to be doing some tailgating with his sons. And so good luck to you. And thanks for joining us this morning on the Sports Project Radio Show.
Hey, thanks very much. And if you've seen the unicorn in the student section, cheer loudly for him. That's my oldest.
Oh, boy. Yes, we will. And good luck to those. It looks like Michigan's on path to head into the Ohio State game undefeated with those Buckeyes, in another classic for all the marbles for the Big Ten title and for a place in that college football playoff. Eddie O'Connor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. Go Blue.